Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Who are the top bounce back candidates to target in your drafts? Mike Kelly shares his thoughts on Laine, Hank, Neil, Malkin, and more. Drafts are around the corner. Summer hiatus is over, and Pete and Rob are revving up.
What's up, everybody? It's Jensen and Reese coming at you on this Tuesday morning after the summer hiatus. We're back in the office from vacation. Rob, great to be here.
Likewise, Pete. I will say the weather was a little bit nicer out in Denver, Colorado, but nonetheless, happy to be back with you guys on the podcast.
So you were in Denver, I was in Napa Valley. We went west, now we're back east, and we're talking about all the moves that have happened this summer. And this is a bounce back candidates episode. It's going to be the first of many off-season episodes that we're going to be dropping ahead of preseason drafts.
No doubt, Pete. And go check out our free agency episode already up. We did that one in July. Now we turn our attention to coaching changes, bounce backs, all sorts of things to get you guys primed for your drafts.
And remember, everybody, check out NHL.com/fantasy so you could see all the rankings that we're referring to. We're going to have projections, all kinds of different list stories already updated after all the moves in July.
And without further ado, we'd like to welcome on Mike Kelly, analyst for TSN, NHL Network, and thepointhockey.com. Great stuff there. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just enjoying the off season and excited to talk to you guys about who might be popping back next year and putting up some big numbers.
Yeah, there are so many big names, so many teams that we're zeroing in on this off season based on the moves and everything that's happening. But to kick things off here, Mike, what are your biggest indicators for bounce back candidates like season to season? We know low shooting percentage, we know past elite production, but from an analytical standpoint.
Yeah, I think those things that you mentioned are important to consider, obviously. You know, if you want to go beyond that as well, looking at the difference between expected goals and actual goals scored at even strength on the power play. Guys that have a big gap there from what they should have put in the back of the net based on the quality and the quantity of their chances and what they did. And then you marry that, obviously, to past production. Is this somebody who typically has had a lower than average shooting percentage that isn't a great finisher? Or is this somebody who, for whatever myriad of reasons, just didn't put the puck in the net as much as he should have? Going beyond that, one thing that I look at as well is has to do with scoring chance generation, which isn't just the shots and the goals, but is also your ability to set up teammates for quality scoring opportunities. So when you marry all that together, it kind of gives you an idea of what you think a guy should be producing, what he did produce. As you talked about, you look at the past production, you put it all together, and there are always guys who stand out that should be primed for bounce back season.
One of those guys is Jaden Schwartz. We had a fan ask us on Twitter. His name is Old Greg. He says, projections for a bounce back season for Jaden Schwartz. Career low shooting percentage last season. Don't see that being repeated. What are your thoughts on Jaden Schwartz?
Yeah, I agree with him, and I think he'll put up better numbers than he did in the regular season. You know, you look at Jaden Schwartz, he had 36 points, 69 games. Not terrific numbers from a guy who has been four times in his career, I believe, a 50-plus point guy. And I think that's a better reflection of who he is. And he's one guy that stood out to me that, again, based on the quality and the quantity of the shots on goal and the chances that he had, should have scored more goals. He scored 9 goals at even strength. I had his expected goals and even strength at 17. That's a big gap. So I think if Jaden Schwartz is able to create the opportunities similar to what he did last season, let alone beyond, this is a guy who will get back over 50 points. He had a terrific playoffs, obviously. So I think that's a great candidate for a guy who could see a bump of 15 to 20 points, 20 probably at the high end from what he produced last season.
Yeah, no doubt. What he did in the playoffs, and we see that sometimes in fantasy, a guy will start to bounce back in the postseason, and then maybe his value is still, like for the Blues and for Jaden Schwartz, I mean, it's just, you know, the goal scoring was there in the postseason, so you know he's still capable of that level of production. One guy that I think leads anyone's bounce back list right now is Patrick Laine. This guy had one of the best months of any player in recent memory from a goal scoring standpoint, but only finished with 30 goals. What's your pulse on Laine, especially with Winnipeg's, some of their off-season losses?
Well, it's funny with Laine, right? We talk about bounce back. The guy is his third year in the league. He scored 30 goals. But it is crazy because the 18 of them came in 1 month, which was, you know, I remember doing a story on this back in November. I think the only other guy that scored 18 goals in a month, it was like 100 years ago. it was just so crazy, nuts, the peaks and valleys that he had. And overall, yeah, his numbers were down from where he should be, but he still scored 30 goals. Here's where it gets tough for me with Line A, and I think it's hard to pin down what he is at this point. Or what to expect from him. He obviously does not have great chemistry with Brian Little as his centerman. If you look through his career of what he's done when he's played with Mark Scheifele, what he's done in a limited time that he played with Paul Stastny, much better than with Line A, or with Little, I should say. So is Little his centerman again? Who's his winger? Where's he going to be in the lineup? I'm not too concerned about his power play production. It's the 5-on-5. He had 13 goals at 5-on-5. You know, that's Oscar Lindblom, Blake Coleman territory. That's not Alex Ovechkin, Steven Stamkos territory where you'd like to see Line A, who's, you know, this elite goal scorer, be. And one of the things that I'm looking at now from an analytical standpoint is shot optimization. It's a model that I'm building out currently, and it's, are guys shooting from the areas that they score from? Are they optimal shooters for who they are? And Patrick Line A, not surprisingly, scores a really high amount of goals at 5-on-5 from the high slot area. He takes an inordinate amount of shots from above the circles, where basically no forward in the league scores a lot of goals from. I think if he can optimize his shots a little better, get a little bit lower in the zone, which I've talked about, he'll have a better chance of scoring more at 5-on-5. That'll boost his overall total. So I'm not ready to say Line A is primed for a bounce-back year. I need to see him prove that he can get it done consistently at 5-on-5, and I don't know if he can do that playing with Brian Little.
Well, he's one of five guys, realistically, that could score 50 goals in the NHL. So there's no doubt that he is a top target in fantasy, regardless of past production. But Nikolaj Ehlers, too, another guy on the Jets that kind of slept a little bit in fantasy last season. Do you look at him with any bounce-back appeal, too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Nick Ehlers is a driver. He's to me, the Jets' best transition player, getting the puck through the neutral zone into the offensive zone, creating offense with speed. I think a little bit of it will depend on who his line mates are. His most common line mates last year were Scheifele and Wheeler. He's playing with those guys, and he's healthy. I can see him being a 70-point guy.
Wow.
If he's not, if Kyle Connor's in that spot, you know, that will have an impact. But there's a lot to like with Nick Ehlers, and I think under the right circumstances, he can be a pretty significant point producer.
I agree. I like Ehlers' ceiling. Me and Rob have both liked it for years now, but we're counting now two postseasons, season and a half of downtrodden production for him. So you got to worry about Winnipeg's top six outside of that elite top line, especially they lost Kevin Hayes. They lost Jacob Trouba. There are a lot of missing pieces there in their forward group and defenseman outlook. Now, for a team that has improved a lot this offseason, the New Jersey Devils, they have two huge names, two bounce-back candidates from injury, Taylor Hall and PK Subban. How good can this Devils team be from a fantasy standpoint?
You know, I'll say first and foremost, I'm not a fantasy hockey expert. I play fantasy hockey. I love it. I guess it depends the categories that you're playing.
Your stuff translates, though, Mike.
It does. I think it does. And the Devils missed the playoffs by so much last year. Like, it's not a bubble team that has gotten a lot better that is now going to be a contender. If they can contend for a playoff spot, I think that's terrific. And they have gotten, you know, significantly better. Taylor Hall coming back alone. This guy's an MVP. And he is a driver, one of those rare wingers that can drive offense from the wing, drive a line from the wing, and he can do it on his own. So, yeah, buy Taylor Hall and get him, you know, fairly early. As long as he's healthy, he's going to put up massive numbers. PK Subban, he's a guy that can put up points. He had a down year last year. Overall, I don't think he played very well last year. I don't think this was as much a case of a guy who had great underlying numbers that I look at and just kind of missed in a year. I don't think he had a good year by his standards. So, you know, and he comes to New Jersey, and we'll see what he can do. The Preds' power play last year was awful. And a lot of it, you know, was PK Subban getting set up for one-timers from beyond the circles. And when we've got more time, I can explain to you and talk to you guys about why I think that's a terrible way to set up a power play. Montreal went through the same thing with Shea Weber. It doesn't work. So what will the Devils do on the power play? What role will Subban play in that? He's better than what he showed last year. And if he plays, like you talk about past performance, if he plays closer to that, no question he's going to put up more points.
Just one quick hitter on the Devils here. What's your take, Heischer versus Hughes?
I'd take Heischer for this season anyways. I mean, if we're talking keepers, that's a whole another kettle of fish. But you have more to draw on with Nico Heischer, and he's still progressing, and I think he'll be even better. There's a lot to like with him. And for this season alone, if you're looking straight up at points, I'd go with Nico.
And then shifting gears to another team, Pittsburgh Penguins. We get a lot of questions on Twitter. Who's the biggest bounce back player for the Penguins this season?
I think they hope it's Matt Murray. He's proved to be a capable goalie in the past. And if you're looking at wins, save percentage, goals against average, those things, if Murray can improve his play, should provide a lot of value in fantasy leagues because, you know, Pittsburgh obviously is a capable team that should win hockey games, and Murray should play a good chunk of games. Malkin, again, is a threat to be a potential scoring leader in any season that he plays. It's another guy where I've always bought in the fantasy leagues I've played, I've always bought Malkin high, and in some years you're happy you did it, and others you're not. But, I'd be willing to take a gamble on Matt Murray this year. I don't know if it's a gamble, but, picking him probably higher than I would have maybe in the past because, I think Pittsburgh will have a very competitive team, and I think he's better than he showed.
That dash 25 for Malkin's a hard pill to swallow, Mike.
It is, but I guess you have to think, do you think it's going to happen again? I suppose it's possible. I think he's better than that. I think the Penguins are better than that. We'll see what happens. But yeah, you're right. He did go dash 25 last year. It's the first time he's been a minus since 2015. He was minus two. So I see that more as an outlier. He was still over a point a game.
So Kessel's out, Mike. Galchenyuk's in. That's another guy, whether you qualify him as a bounce back or a sleeper guy. Galchenyuk could collectively join on the left side of Evgeny Malkin and lead to a bounce back for both of those guys.
Yep, absolutely. I'm not sold I'd call it overvaluing Galchenyuk. People have talked in the past of guys that have gone into play with Crosby and Malkin, and are they primed to put up big numbers or really surpass a lot of career highs because of who they're playing with? And it doesn't always happen. There's too many question marks around Alex Galchenyuk for me at this point in his career. Can he be a 20-goal, 40-point guy like he was last year? Sure, absolutely. I wouldn't bet that he's going to go over 30 goals or 55 points. He's done it before once, but I'd be surprised if he does that.
I would be too. What about out west? Two teams I'm intrigued by, the LA Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. Who's more likely to bounce back?
Oh, LA, I guess, but I mean, it depends what the definition of bounce back is. These are not good teams. The Kings are slow, and the Ducks are a nightmare defensively, like an absolute nightmare. And it's funny. What do you do with a guy like John Gibson, who has established himself as a top five goalie in the league? In terms of goals saved, relative to league average, great numbers. But in fantasy hockey, all you're looking at really is wins, goals against average, and save percentage. And Gibson's going to struggle because of how bad the team is in front of him. And they give up just a mountain of scoring chances. So I guess I would expect the Kings to be marginally better. I don't know that I'd be buying too many guys on either one of these teams because of how bad the overall teams are.
What about 80.5 points for the Ducks? Would you take the over or under?
80.5?
Yeah.
I'd take the under.
Wow.
Really? A lot went wrong for the Ducks last year from an injury standpoint. I mean, all these different, they had 12-game losing streak. Personally, I don't see it getting much worse for the Ducks. I think the injection of youth into their top six is huge. I think they could surprise some people this year. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, 80.5 points. That's, you're basically suggesting they're going to be last or second last. So Andre Kost is a guy that's interesting to me. Maybe you guys have had him pegged as kind of a sleeper in years past. I think if this guy can string together, stay healthy and play games and with more of a role now in the top six, I think he's a potential breakout player for Anaheim. I love a lot of his underlying numbers in terms of his ability to transition the puck, to have the puck, to create offense. He's a guy that I could see, putting up bigger numbers than we've seen from him in the past. But the Ducks, you're right. They had this big losing streak. They also started the season, I think, 5-1. And they should have lost five of those games. So I don't know. There's not a lot that I love about the Ducks other than the fact that they've got a rock star goalie. And you're right. They do have, you know, some decent younger guys. I think this is going to be a real transition year for them where they're going to struggle to pick up a lot of points.
There's Dallas Eakins, the new coach, too. I mean, another guy that has coached these guys before. I really liked what I saw from Raquel, who's another bounce-back candidate, playing with Sam Steele down the stretch, 17 points, final 17 games. So they give them a glimmer of hope.
Yeah, I like Ricard Raquel a lot. You know, he's a guy that I've got to know over the years, and he's a smart hockey player. And he's a guy that's a gifted goal scorer as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he improves on his numbers from last year at all. Who's he playing with? If they load up a top line, I guess, of Getzlaff and Raquel and Andre Kasha, I think Raquel and Kasha could be great fantasy, you know, value adds in terms of where you might be able to get them. I kind of worry about everything below that in terms of the overall team and their performance. But you bring up great points, and they're valid ones. And we'll have to wait till the puck drops and see.
I might take some heat for asking this here, but James Neal, any shot of a bounce back there with the Edmonton Oilers now?
There has to be. I think there has to be. This is a guy who's he had a bad year, right? Things never worked out for him in Calgary. I think he went there assuming, maybe not assuming, but certainly hoping that he would be playing with, you know, Johnny Hockey and Sean Monahan. Elias Lindholm came in and took the job, and Elias had a terrific season. There wasn't a great fit for him after that, but this is a guy who, I mean, he scored 19 points last year. He's been a 20 goal guy, I think 8 years in a row before that, 30 goals, 40 goals once. And now he's going to go to a situation where he could potentially be playing with Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. Both of these guys are phenomenal drivers of offense. Leon scored 50 goals. He's a gifted playmaker as well. And we all know what Connor McDavid can do. I don't see why, you know, having James Neal as a bounce back guy would be ridiculous at all. He's obviously going to get the opportunity there. Again, Edmonton, not as good a team as Calgary, but in terms of opportunity for individual success, certainly relative to what he did last year. Yeah, absolutely bounce back.
And one other question I had pertaining to off-season movement and how it affects teammates. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist to me stands to bounce back from all these Ranger additions, from Panarin, Kapokako from the draft, Jacob Trouba, the influx of youth in their roster as well. What are your thoughts on an aging, declining Henrik Lundqvist and whether he could turn things around before the end of his career?
Yeah, no, you bring up great points, and I agree. I mean, the Rangers are a lot better than they were a year ago, obviously. One of the big problems that the Rangers had last season, when I look at their team overall, is that they really struggled to get the puck out of their own end with any kind of control, with any semblance of order. And because of that, obviously they gave up more chances, more shots, more goals than they would have liked. I think that they've improved in those areas this season. You've got Jacob Trouba, who's a guy that makes a really good first pass that will help in that area. You've got Artemi Panarin, who, in terms of zone exit, zone entries, everything to do with transitioning the puck, really high numbers, and is a good option to help you skate it out of your end. So I think life will be a little easier for Henrik Lundqvist based on those things. And his own individual play last year, you know, he was still on the right side of the actual to expected goals against model that I look at. I know he's getting older, but he's still playing well. In terms of a bounce-back season, improving on last season, he'd be a prime candidate at the goaltending position.
Well, I might be the only guy in Manhattan that's not sold on the Rangers, Mike, but thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck in your fantasy drafts this September.
Yeah, no worries. And you talk about the Rangers and the Devils, I'm not, you know, let's temper the expectations, which is probably where you're getting at, right? And I'll just throw a couple quick guys at you real fast that I wrote down as well, maybe keep an eye on. We talked cool. about LA, Tyler Toffoli, massively under achieved in terms of his expected goals. He's a potential guy. William Nylander, I think he's going to have a big time bounce back year. And Jason Zucker in Minnesota, get him if you can. He should be a 27 to 32 goal guy, and I think he'll do that this year.
I'm writing this down right now, Mike.
You hit the nail on the head with Nylander. If Matthews finally hits 100 points, I think Nylander's along for the ride.
Well, and Nylander, again, in terms of things that I know matter, but if they don't show up on the score sheet, you tend to forget them. Transitioning, creating offense, all the things that go into scoring goals and creating goals. He did it at a pretty good rate last season. I think he's going to have a great year this year.
He's a nice middle round pick for sure. I'm just wondering if he's going to keep those cornrows into the regular season.
God, I hope not. Who knows? But hey, the more flavor in the league, the better, right?
Exactly, Mike. Thanks again for joining us.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. I look forward to chatting again soon and enjoy the rest of the summer.
Great stuff from Mike, as always. You can follow him on Twitter at MikeKellyNHL and follow his company At The Point Hockey. They do data-driven storytelling. They make it really easy to understand from their videos to their graphics. Really great stuff.
One thing I think stood out to me about that interview, Pete, was it didn't sound like Mike was sold on Patrick Laine bouncing back. What's up with that?
I'm kind of concerned. The more I look at that Central Division and all these teams that have gotten better, it's kind of a changing of the guard. We look at the top teams in the Central right now, not Nashville and Winnipeg like years past. It's Dallas and Colorado, teams like that. Even Chicago's gotten better. So they have a void in their top six with no second-line center. They lost two of their best defensemen in Myers and Trouba. And Patrick Laine, frankly, in fantasy, based on what Mike was saying and based on what we saw last year, he is goals or bust.
Well, I think it goes beyond that, too, and there might be a coaching hot seat there to watch in the regular season if they get off to a slow start. I just think that team has way too much talent. I think even against the Blues in the playoffs last season, I don't think they responded very well. Even when they had chances to take over games, they failed to do so. I do, however, like Patrick Laine going into next season. I would brush off those concerns, and like you said, just go for the goals.
I wonder if they would ever consider giving Blake Wheeler a shot at center to split up Scheifele and Wheeler, because I think that would really go a long way in the improvement of Patrick Laine from a fantasy standpoint and also from a competitive standpoint for a Winnipeg team that lost in the conference final 2 years ago but then was ousted in the first round to the eventual champs in the Blues.
Now, one other thing I wanted to get to today is injury bounce back, guys. I know we touched a little bit of that with Mike, but how do you look at that, Pete, when a guy like Taylor Hall did miss a chunk of time, Shea Weber missed a chunk of time, guys like that, Jaden Schwartz, even a perennial guy that's injured every year, how do you gauge how many games they can actually play next season?
Well, for Taylor Hall, it's a clean slate. You look at what he did the previous year, I think that there's a really strong chance he's going to play 70-plus games, and that's going to equate to great fantasy results, even if he only plays like in the low 70s. So he has renewed talent around him. He's in a contract year. We've been talking about that with a lot of these guys. I don't think we mentioned it, though, for guys like Hall, of course, Galchenyuk, who we mentioned with Mike for the Penguins. Also, Tyler Toffoli, a guy that Mike mentioned at the end of the interview, also in a contract year. Maybe he gets a new look on the top line. So I'm always looking at lineup placement for these guys. And so many options on the injury bounce back front.
And what about the favorites in the West, the Vegas Golden Knights? They've got two of those guys, Max Pacioretty and Paul Stastny. They even play on the same line together.
Hey, check out the mock draft that we did at the beginning of July. I took all three of those guys, the new top line in Vegas, Stone, Pacioretty, Stastny. I stacked all three of them in the first mock draft. We're going to be doing more, but just keep that in mind that people are underestimating these guys. Pacioretty has not really hit his full ceiling in the league, in my opinion. Stastny showed a great sign of bounce back in the postseason. And then Mark Stone is a top five right wing in this league from a fantasy lens.
And then one team that really does intrigue me next year is the Philadelphia Flyers. They have a plethora of guys that you could consider bounce back candidates. I'm looking at their defensemen, Shane Gostisbehere and Ivan Provorov. Are you leaning one way or the other? Who'd you rather have?
I mean, I'm just wondering if, and this goes for Ristolainen as well for Buffalo, are these guys going to be moved? I think whether they're moved or they stay, there's a really good chance that both of those guys bounce back with some of the moves around them. Gostisbehere, power play quarterback with a loaded first unit. New coach, Alain Vigneault. Vigneault is going to make an immediate impact on that team and also having Carter Hart as a stable force in the crease.
I would, to answer my own question there, I'd probably give the edge to Gostisbehere, just like you said, the power play
Me
points.
Too.
When you have a defenseman back there that can rack up 20-plus power play points, that is a slam dunk in fantasy.
I was looking on the injury bounce back front. How about the Arizona Coyotes? I mean, so much of the talk has been about Phil Kessel and his impact on the team. But even before the Kessel trade, they had a number of bounce back candidates and two injury bounce back candidates with Nick Schmaltz, who could play with Kessel on the top line, and Antti Raanta, who's part of a nice little timeshare.
Well, you know that management there likes Nick Schmaltz because he got a big deal, even though he missed a lot of time with injury. So that's a sign there that they see room to grow. Now, for their goalie situation, that's a tough one to predict, right? Because we saw Darcy Kuemper play out of his mind for the second half of the season. Something about those Arizona goalies makes me wonder if having them as a tandem next year would be the way to go.
I think you can get both of them outside the top 100 overall, and thus with Arizona barely missing the playoffs, I think they have a good chance of getting in. Raanta was the most valuable goalie in the league 2 years ago in the month of February and March, or even since January 1st.
Since Jan 1st, yeah. So following suit on the Coyotes there, I'm just going to give my top three bounce back guys to keep an eye on. Clayton Keller leads the list, Arizona Coyotes. That is a player you must have. He could even be tri-eligible, so pay attention there. I do like Patrick Laine a lot. I will stay on that hill for next season. And then my third guy, William Nylander. I feel even better about having him on my list after the stamp of approval from Mike Kelly.
And I have a Coyotes player on my list as well. I have Oliver Ekman-Larsson, a guy who's hit 55 points in the past, has been stuck in the low 40s for the better part of the past 5-6 seasons. I think he's getting not only to 55, I think he could get you 60 and finish among the top 5 or 10 defensemen scoring players in the entire league. So I'm really high on Ekman-Larsson because of all these guys who could stay healthy, benefit the team, and Phil Kessel's impact. I like Rickard Rakell because I mentioned earlier with Mike his chemistry with Sam Steele and Jacob Silverberg down the stretch. I think the Ducks under their new coach are going to split up Getzlaff and Rakell, and I think it might be a breath of fresh air for the still young Rakell, who could score 35-40 goals in a jiffy for Anaheim. And then Jamie Benn, a guy that kind of woke up in the playoffs last year but still couldn't finish. This is a guy with Joe Pavelski. The addition of Joe Pavelski, whether he plays on his line, second line, you know he's going to play on the first power play with Jamie Benn, but that's a potential duo that I would look at that could help the Dallas Stars win the division, maybe.
The only line in the NHL I care about is who plays with Connor McDavid. Otherwise, I don't think it matters, especially for a guy like Jamie Benn, who is a proven category coverage asset in fantasy. That Dallas team do not sleep. I think they're going to win the Central.
I think Jamie Benn is going to return to 65-70 points with the strong category coverage, like you mentioned, Rob. No matter where he plays at even strength, just because of that power play exposure and the finishing ability that he's shown in years past. Now, Bobby Third Mike here wants to chime in on something that Mike Kelly said earlier in his interview about he was down on the Anaheim Ducks, much more down on them than I am, or Bobby.
Well, listen, boys. I don't disagree with them. The Anaheim Ducks are going to be a pretty bad team in 1920. I don't think we disagree there. But coming into the show, their over-under point total is set at 80.5, okay? They had 80 points last year. 80 points, and they had injuries up and down the lineup. They had Randy Carlyle behind the bench. Disarray. John Gibson, terrible year. I expect the Anaheim Ducks to have a bounce-back year. Give me the over on the 80.5 points. I mean, that is a no-brainer to me. The only thing I'm a little concerned about is it's set a little too low. It's almost too easy. I think they're going way above 80.5. And listen, I respect Mike Kelly. Love Mike Kelly. I like the over, though, with the Ducks.
I'm with you there, Bobby. I can't say enough about this Ducks team, the youth they've got. But I will have to counter on you about John Gibson. I don't really necessarily consider him as a bounce-back candidate. He had above a .915 save percentage on a team that had one player play in a full season there.
Over 80.5. It's my lock of the year. And I'll be saying it all year. 80.5. They had 80 points last year. You're telling me they're not going to have more than 80.5 points this year?
I think they can make the playoffs. I mean, am I crazy? I think they can make the playoffs with arguably the best goalie in the league. A lot of good young talent. New coach, Ryan Getzlaff, a playoff warrior.
Probably too much time on the Anaheim Ducks. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, Petey. But like I said, I'll take that over 80.5 points all day, every day.
Good info from Bobby Third, Mike. Thanks for chiming in. But yeah, great show, Rob. And of course, everybody could subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Podcast, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Hit us up. Subscribe now. Check out our free agent episode from a couple of weeks ago, and we'll be dropping another episode later this week.
And check out the NHL's other podcasts in the network. We have Draft Class. We have Executive Suite. Give those podcasts some love to rate and review.
Thanks again to Mike for joining us here on the show. So for Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you again real soon here on NHL Fantasy on Ice.